Genesis chapter 15 tonight and Galatians chapter 3. Find both of those passages if you would. Genesis 15, Galatians chapter 3. How is everybody tonight?
Great.
All right, good, good. Genesis 15 and Galatians chapter what?
Three.
All right, good. You're with me. Tonight we continue the second part of our discussion on the seed of Abraham as we continue through our series on seeing Jesus in the Old Testament as the promised one throughout all the ages. So tonight we continue what we didn't finish 2 weeks ago. And I'm going to just quickly go over some of the things we already have seen to set the stage. Won't take a lot of time to do that. And then we're going to finish this topic tonight. We're moving through the Bible. We began with Adam and Eve in the garden and the promise that the seed of the woman would do what? The seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. And we skipped over Noah. There's a promise in there, but we're not covering that in this series, and we've moved on to Abraham. So if you would with me in your Bibles, in Genesis chapter 15, let's look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no what? Seed. So we pick it up in Genesis 15. God has promised Abraham for years now. He's been promising him that he's going to give him what? He's going to give him, yes, a son, and that son would be the starting point of his seed that would inherit the promise. And now, kind of midway through the trial of Abram's faith, Abram says, God, what's going to happen here? What about this steward in my house, Eliezer? Couldn't his son be my seed? And verse 5 again, Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir. And God reinforces his promise when he says, But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward the heaven. Tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And God said to Abram, he said, Would you read with me this? The end of this sentence as God says to Abram, what does he say? He says, So shall thy seed be. In verse number 6, we see Abram's reaction. This is key. I have this underlined in my Bible. And he, what's it say? Believed in the Lord. And he, that's who? Who is the one doing the believing? It's Abram. And he believed on the Lord. And he, this is another he, who would this be? This would be God. And God counted it to him for what? Righteousness. God said, Abram, your faith is counted for righteousness. And God continues and said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take an heifer 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took them, and he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy what? Thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them. Where is that going to take place, to you Bible scholars out there? What's going to happen to his seed? They're going to end up where?
Egypt.
In Egypt. Yeah, you can study that later on. That they shall afflict them for 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with great substance. And thou, Abram, shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation shall they come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, Behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. That's the sacrifice, remember? In verse 18, in the same day, the Lord made a what? A covenant. Remember, the title of the series is Promised One. And we're thinking about the covenants. And all of the covenants that God has made with his people pointed to the ultimate covenant of grace that he made through Jesus Christ. But the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this what? Land. From the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaims and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you again tonight that we can open your word. Please speak to our hearts. Help me to say only what needs to be said and not what doesn't need to be. And I pray for each person in the church tonight that our hearts would be open, our minds would be opened, and we would hunger for your word, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. As we move through here, we're looking, as we said last week, we looked at this and we understood it's called the Abrahamic Covenant. If you want to catch up on the notes and you didn't get them last time, the Abrahamic Covenant. Now remember, this is going to be key to understanding the Bible. Why? Because this begins the proof of a promise-keeping God. Isn't that good? That he is a promise-keeping God. And today, 4,000 years later, the promise made to Abram in the back of the desert to this wandering nomadic herdsman, the promise that was made that he would have a seed and that that inheritance would continue, it is embodied today in the very nation of Israel. And this promise still stands fast today. And again, folks, as I said before, and they wonder why we believe the Bible. The promises have been fulfilled. He is a promise-keeping God. But one thing that we saw last week that we didn't talk about in the introduction, you may want to jot this down as well, is what we were seeing as we're studying Abram and the promise that God made to him is it also demonstrates a demonstration of God's, now get this, God's eternal promise of grace. I said God's eternal promise of what? Grace. We know the scriptures in the New Testament, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the what? The gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Friends, that promise of salvation by grace did not start with the Apostle Paul. It did not start with Jesus and his disciples. The promise of salvation by grace through faith started all the way back in the book of Genesis when God said that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent seed. And then it is verified and there's probably no other place where the promise of grace is more explicit than in the verse that we just read, Genesis chapter 15, verse number 6, where it says, speaking of Abram, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. For all of time, there have been two approaches. This is very simple. For all of time, there have been two approaches that men have offered to God. There's the approach in the Garden of Eden when Cain said, this is the good that I have done and I want to present it. And God said, no, I need a sacrificial offering of faith. And Abel offered that offering. And it's the offering of faith where Abram says, Lord, you made a promise to me and I believe it. Well, again, as I like to say, how can you know that I'm not just making this up and stretching the scriptures? Go with me now to the other passage. We'll be back in Genesis, but go to the book of Galatians. We were in chapter 4 last week, but this week we're going to be in chapter 3. I said there's two approaches that people have made to in coming to God. And one is by faith, accepting what God has done in our behalf. And the other approach that people have made toward God is the approach of what? If one is grace through faith, the other approach is by works, by human effort, as if to say that I have something good that I can offer to God. Well, that debate has gone on for a long time, and Paul wanted to set it straight in the book of Galatians. So look at verse number 1 of chapter 3. He starts very strongly to these friends of his, and he calls them a name. What does he call them? He says, you're foolish. Why? What has happened in this church? People are not approaching God the way that Abram approached God. They're approaching him by the law, by their good works, by their own human efforts, which will always fall short. And so he says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? What's the answer? By the hearing of faith. Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? What's the answer? By the hearing of faith. Yeah, but Ethan, what in the world does Abram have to do with any of this? What are we doing here? Well, Paul brings up Abraham, verse 6. Even as Abraham, what? Believed God, and it was accounted to him for what? Have we read that before? We read it at the very beginning of the Bible just a few minutes ago. That Abram believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of what? The same are the children of who? Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you, if you've come to Christ by what? By faith. The same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, verse 8, foreseeing that God would, what's it say? Justify the heathen through faith. He preached before the gospel. Well, wait a minute, I thought the gospel is all about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Yeah, it is. But it's more than that. It began at the very beginning because God preached the gospel unto who? The good news to, who's it say? Well, it says he preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee, in Abraham, shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the what? The curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man, who? No man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a what? A curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now get this here. I hope I haven't lost you. I hope you're still with me. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the what? There it is. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now look at the beginning of verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the what? Were the promises made. Mark this, we're going to finish here. Mark this and go back to Genesis. Back to Genesis. You see, this story of Abraham, everything that we saw last week, 2 weeks ago, everything we saw in the previous chapters, is demonstrating to us that God's plan for bringing mankind to himself is not about works, but it's all about grace. It's about what? Grace. It's all about grace. So, we saw, now quickly, first of all, this promise that was made to Abraham, it involved three things. What were they? They were the land, the what? The seed and the... Now, it's all up on the screen behind you folks, so we can do a little better on that now, I think, okay? The promise made to Abraham involved three things. The what? The... Oh, come on now. Please help me. Please, please. Ready? It involved the land, the seed, and the blessing. God gave the land to Abraham and to his seed, not the United Nations in 1948. It's God who gave Israel their land. He promised them land from the River Nile to the river what? Well, that's the river of Egypt. That's Nile. From the river Nile to Euphrates, God gave them the land. And God said, I will bless them that bless thee. And God said, I will curse them that curse thee. Curse them that curse thee. The covenant, I believe, according to the Bible, still in effect to this very day. But right in the middle, the land and the blessing, right in the middle, none of these promises matter. The land and the blessing really don't matter unless there is a seed. In other words, there must be offspring that continue, that can receive the inheritance. Without the seed, the rest of the promise is meaningless. Why do I say that? I say that because, as we emphasized last week, God promised Abraham, you're going to have a son. Abraham, I'm going to give you and your seed this land. Abraham, I'm going to give him a great blessing. And for years and years and years and years, Abraham said, okay, I can't wait for the land and I can't wait for the blessing. But God, where's the seed? Where's the seed? Where's the seed? And they came and they said, no, it's, and then, okay, so let's skip over number on the back of your handout now. The promise was eventually fulfilled, though, was it not? Sure was. I'm trying not to get too bogged down on this. Hannah told me, don't get lost in your introduction. That's your problem, she said. So I said, okay, I'll do it. So that's what I'm going to do. So the promise was fulfilled, but it was fulfilled in who? It was fulfilled in Isaac. Do you remember in the middle, Abraham had a little bit of a lack of faith, and he had another son, didn't he? And his son was named who? Named Ishmael. But we learn that God said, did God say he would accept Ishmael as the seed? No. Why? Because God's promises are only received by faith. God's promise is only received by faith, and this promise was going to be fulfilled in a supernatural birth and in a supernatural son. Only the son of promise would receive the inheritance. And we last week went to Galatians chapter 4 and saw that all played out. That this was a picture all these years past. That Ishmael represents what man can do. Amen? Ishmael represents a physical union of a man and a woman that would naturally produce offspring. But we know Isaac was no representation of a natural birth. No, Ishmael was, but Isaac was not. Because Isaac's birth was an impossibility. It was an unlikely, improbable, but ultimately impossible that Isaac could be born because he was going to be born to Sarah. And when Sarah heard that she was going to give birth when she was 90 years old, what did she do? She laughed. And she laughed. Nevertheless, if you look down at chapter number 21 of the book of Genesis, skip over to chapter 21. Look with me at verse number 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. Isn't that good? And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Listen, when God says something in the past, it's settled in the future. God did as he had spoken. For verse 2, Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac, which means he laughs. Laughter. God did something. God did a miracle. And he fulfilled the promise that the blessing will be fulfilled in Isaac. And the land will be given to Isaac. Because Abraham, now you have been given the seed that God promised you. Only the son of promise would receive the inheritance. And we remembered last time as we were together that this son of promise, Isaac, reminded us that there is another, greater, more perfect son of promise who would come. Amen? And who's that? It's Jesus Christ, the Son of Promise. And he would be a supernatural birth. He would be a supernatural son. And for us to receive the inheritance of faith and for us to receive salvation, a supernatural birth would have to take place in our lives. And this whole picture shows us and proves to us that it cannot be by our own efforts and our own works, but it is entirely of God's wonderful and amazing grace. And there we found Abraham and Sarah rejoicing and laughing last week as they celebrated the birth of the promised son. But this evening we come to Genesis 22 and the promise is about to be tested. The promise is about to be tested. Genesis 22, verse 1, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. He put a test before him. And he said unto him, Abraham. And Abraham said, Behold, here I am. And so God says in verse number 2, Take now, who? Thy son. Thine only son. Isaac. As if Abram didn't understand when God said it the first time, I think he did. Take your son, your only son, Isaac, the one that you love, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Wow. The story has drastically changed from the laughter and the celebration at Isaac's birth, has it not? And Abraham didn't know what God was going to say that day. Scriptures seem to indicate that Abraham and God had close fellowship. In fact, the Bible says that Abraham was known as the friend of God. I believe that they spoke often. And that morning, God tests him. He says, Abraham, I want you to take Isaac, who you love. I want you to go to Moriah and I want you to offer him for a what? A burnt offering. A burnt offering. Now remember, folks, the process for a burnt offering was a gruesome process. We realize that, don't we? It's laid out explicitly in the book of Exodus when instructions are given to the Jews for how to perform the burnt sacrifice. Nonetheless, what God was telling Abraham to do was to take his son, to climb up the mountain, to take a knife, to drain the life out of his son with that knife, to cut his body and to lay him on the altar, and to burn him entirely. Now, sacrifice was common in the Middle East, really throughout the world. People were familiar with sacrifice. It was common that you would offer something that was valuable to you and that you would offer that to the deity. And Abraham had made, we saw it earlier, he'd made many sacrifices before to God, but this is so different. Never before has God ever asked for a human sacrifice to be made. But he does this time with Abraham. But we know the scriptures give us that this is a test of Abraham's love. But it's also a test of Abraham's faith. Why is it a test of Abraham's faith? Because all of the promise and all of the covenant is tied in who? In Isaac. God had already told Abraham that in Isaac the promises would be fulfilled. Did he not? He did. So we can look at the test here, the temptation that God puts before Abraham. And sometimes we can look at it and say, well, this is a test of Abraham's love. Does he love God more than anything? Does he love him so much that he'd offer his son? And I think it's accurate to describe it as a test of love. But I think in the context, we must not forget that ultimately this is a tremendous test of Abraham's faith. Abraham, from the very beginning, has believed the promise of God. What goes through Abraham's mind? Well, Abraham knew that Isaac had to live. Somehow God would make this all right. Because in Isaac is the promise. But Abraham obeys God explicitly. And in verse number 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning. No hesitation. And he saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering. And rose up unto the place of which God had told him. So here they come to Mount Moriah, and Abraham is about to sacrifice the son of promise. Verse 4, on the third day Abram lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and what? And worship. And then what does he say? And come again. Abraham says, me and the boy are going to go worship. And we will come back. How could he be so? What did God tell him to do? Sacrifice your son. And I think people often look at this passage and they gasp, how could Abraham be so cold and callous that he would just be willing, I don't care who tells you to do it, how could you just be so willing to sacrifice your own son like that? I believe Abraham had every intention of going and making the sacrifice, and I believe somehow Abraham had every intention of coming back with his son because he believed the promise of God. That God said Isaac would be the promise, that and we know what God was going to do, but Abraham didn't. Is God going to resurrect my son? What's going to happen? So they go. Verse number 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. Who's carrying the wood? The wood is for what? Sacrifice. And who's carrying the wood? Isaac. Is there another mountain and another sacrificial son of promise somewhere? On Mount Calvary? A son of promise who carried the wood up Mount Calvary? Who carried his cross? Jesus did. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father. And said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but, could you read that with me? Where is the lamb? Where is the lamb? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. Do you see the play on words in the verse there? God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Abraham didn't know what was going to happen, but he knew that it was going to be God who stepped in with the provision. In the New Testament, as Jesus went to the cross and paid for our sins and was the sacrificial son of promise, God provided himself as the lamb. God not only provided a lamb, but himself as the lamb. And remember, just like Isaac, all of the promises are embodied in Isaac. Jesus Christ, everything, the Godhead, the deity, all embodied, the promise embodied in Jesus Christ. And they climb up the mountain. My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And I think in that moment, Abraham pulled that knife like this and said, here it comes. Here it comes. And he looks up and he says, here am I. Okay. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah what? Jireh. What does that mean? The Lord, yeah, the Lord provides. God will provide himself a lamb. Jehovah Jireh, as it is said this day, to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed, as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Now I want you to see this next phrase. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be what? Be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And in thee, thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. All nations, who's that? That would include the United States of America. That would include Russia. That would include, and you name it, nation after nation after nation. That would include you and me, friend. So we finish with number four tonight, and we look at this promise today and forever. The promise today and forever. Ultimately, we understand that the promise is physically and tangibly fulfilled in what group of people? Israel, right? Not a trick question, but God promised that his seed, the seed of Abraham, the physical offspring of the loins of Abraham, would inherit the land. That is the nation of Israel. But what we're going to see as we finish, that the promise is about a whole lot more than just Israel. Okay? Don't miss this. Did you see what he said there? In thy seed shall all nations be blessed. There's a blessing that extends beyond the physical offering of the offspring of Abraham and Isaac. You see, it's more than Israel. It is about the promise of redemption for all of mankind. Do you realize why did God choose the nation of Israel? He said clearly it wasn't because they were the greatest of people. In fact, they were the least of people. Is there anything special about the chosen people of God, the Jews? Nothing, other than the fact that God has chosen them. But do we realize tonight, folks, that God chose Israel to be the vehicle of his redemption? The vehicle of his redemption for all of mankind. You see, Abraham's offspring would bring forth the seed that would bless all nations. You say for a minute, what do you mean, the seed? I mean the seed that is greater than Isaac. I mean the seed that is the more perfect Isaac. I mean the seed that went to the mountain with his father and went to the sacrifice with his father And when the father pulled the knife, there was no voice to hold back the plunging of the father's knife. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. That God the Father punished God the Son, Jesus Christ, the seed of Abraham. Jesus is the seed of Abraham. Go back to Galatians chapter 3. It's not about Isaac. It's not about Israel. It's about Jesus Christ and the plan of redemption. Well, am I making this up? No. Galatians chapter 3 again. Back up, we already read this, but back up to verse 4. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would what? Justify. Are we back? Are we all together in Galatians 3:8? Galatians 3:8. Sorry, I said 4? Well, I shouldn't have said that. It's Galatians 3:8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would what? Justify who? The heathen. That's us, guys. Unless you're a Jew in here, the physical offspring of Abraham, it's talking about us heathens. That God would justify the heathen through what? That's why he preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying what? In thee shall all nations be blessed. Be blessed. Now, I want to say something quickly. Does that mean that we inherit all of the promises of that Abraham's seed were given? No. We don't get the land. We don't get the seed. Well, we do get the seed. We don't get the land. We get the blessing. But we don't get the national blessing that I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. That's not the blessing that we inherit. It's actually quite clear here. This is all talking about what aspect of Abraham's relationship with God? His what? His faith that brought what blessing? The blessing of justification. Some of you said it, grace, salvation, specifically justification. The promise here is that as Abraham believed the Lord in the Lord, and it was counted unto him for righteousness, that same blessing of Abraham would be given to the, what group of people? The heathen. That we would receive that aspect. Now, how did it come to us? It came to us through the physical offspring that was promised through Isaac. That through this, the physical land and the physical seed and the physical blessing, that promise to justify and bless all of the world would be preserved for us today. So verse number 9. Then they which be of faith are blessed, what? With faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified, again, we're talking about justification, that God would declare us righteous, just like he declared Abraham righteous by faith. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law, it's not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Verse 13, read this part with me now, ready, out loud. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now here it comes, ready? That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Justification, the Spirit of God, through faith, that aspect of the blessing of Abraham. It goes on. I hope you're not bored yet because I got a few more minutes. Verse number 15. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Verse 16 now. Now to Abraham and his what? Were the promises made. Now this is where it gets really good. He saith not, and to what? Seeds with an S, plural. He saith not into seeds as of many, but as of how many?
One.
Into thy seed, which is Christ. Is Isaac the seed of Abraham? Well, yes. But is he the ultimate seed of Abraham? No. Is Israel the seed of Abraham? Yes. But is Israel the ultimate seed of Abraham? No. Who is the seed of Abraham? Jesus. Jesus. Not to seeds as of many, but as of one. Thy seed, which is Christ. Verse 17. And this I say. It just keeps getting better. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul. Now, that's a little tricky language to look at, so let's just take that for a minute here. This I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law. So he's saying here, a covenant that was confirmed in Christ before what? Okay, before the law. Before God gave Moses the law, there was a covenant confirmed by God in Christ. What was that covenant? It's the covenant to who? To Abraham. It's the covenant to Abraham. God, Paul says here in Galatians chapter 3 that covenant that God made to Abraham way back in Genesis, time and time again, that was a covenant not about Abraham and Isaac, but that was the covenant of God through who? Which is in Christ. The covenant confirmed before of God in Christ. So he says the law, which came how much longer? 430 years later. Do you get this? God made a promise to Abraham. And we can't talk about the years. There's a little study there. We're not going to talk about that. But years and years later, there was a covenant of the law. But that covenant of the law never changed what? Now, I know this is kind of deep stuff tonight, all right? But I think you're following it. So the covenant with Moses in the law, the Ten Commandments, okay? That doesn't change the covenant God made when? Before in Abraham and Isaac. Because that's the covenant of Jesus Christ. That will not make the promise of none effect. Verse number 18. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of what? But God gave it to Abraham by what? So if the covenant is of the law, he says it's not of promise. So then what would the inheritance be? If it's not through promise, it would be through what? Well, faith and promise are the same thing. Somebody said it? Works. Works. See, these people, like people today, had it all caught up and they said, well, it's the law. I've got to keep the law. I've got to do this and do this and do this and do this and do this. And Paul says, no, it's not the law, because the law never changed the covenant that God made to Abraham, that in Abraham, through faith, through the seed of Abraham, Jesus Christ, all nations would be blessed. And all nations could receive eternal life, the inheritance of life through faith in Jesus. Verse number 19, wherefore then serveth the law? Well, it was added because of transgressions. In other words, the law came because people were so sinful. Something had to hold the people back. You get that? So what service the law? It was given because of transgressions. Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. Who is the seed? Jesus Christ. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Verse number 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? What's it say? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded, and we know this because of the law, the Scripture hath concluded what? All under sin, that the promise, there that word is again, by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that what?
Believe.
Believe. Before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by what?
Faith.
But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by what?
Faith
in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. This has been God's plan from the very beginning, to raise up a seed that would bring forth his chosen seed, Jesus Christ, so that you and I could say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I have nothing to offer by my good deeds. I accept Christ, and we become part of this promise that was made 4,000 years ago. Isn't God's plan masterful? Isn't he good from beginning to end, from cover to cover? It's all about Jesus. Let's pray.